Leaves No Step Had Trodden Black. Written by Vagabond Dawn, read by CC Rambles. This is an untamed fanfic containing the pairing of Tin Guang Yao and Nia Huai Sung, and is rated T. The Tin Guang Nia cultivators make their camp in one of the many caves that burrow around the hills of Tin Huai. After a long day of fighting, they're exhausted and eager to rest, so it falls to Meng Yao to collect the bamboo tubes that serve as water canteens and trek down the hill to the river to fill them. It's a necessary task, but not a difficult one. It's the kind of task that's usually assigned to the youngest and weakest cultivator of the group, or to any servants that might have accompanied a hunting group. That it falls to Meng Yao again and again and again, despite how hard he works, despite his successes, it's an insult. A reminder that he isn't good enough, that they don't think he's good enough for anything more. He hikes down towards the river. The hill is steep, but the path is well-trodden and easy enough, clearly leading to a well-used watering hole. The path opens to a stony flat bank, with the river curving in a loop around it. And there's someone already there, crouched at the river's edge. Meng Yao hesitates, but to find another spot, he would have to climb back up the track and look for another path. Time-consuming, and more likely to get him into trouble if the cultivators at camp pay attention to how long it has taken him to fulfill a simple task. In the end, the risks are small. This close to camp, it's unlikely to be an enemy, and he can already see that the person is wearing the silver robes of the Tin Guang Nia sect. Meng Yao squares his shoulders, pastes on his best neutral expression, and continues on. As he walks closer, he notices that the robes are much finer than he would have expected, a grey so pale they're almost white, with gentle textural patterns. So much finer than what Meng Yao is wearing. His hair is drawn back in elaborate braids, the kind that require time and maybe several additional hands to do, and pulled through a heavy metal hairpiece that is clearly expensive. Meng Yao would almost mistake him for a spoilt lordling or a rich merchant, if it were not for the heavy metal saber carelessly discarded on the riverbank beside him. It's not so surprising that Meng Yao hadn't recognized him instantly. The young master does his best to avoid training and night hunts and cultivators and all associated with it. Meng Yao hadn't been aware that he would be on this particular night hunt at all, though he does know that sect leader Nia is set to meet up with them with another group of cultivators soon. Meng Yao sets the water canteens down a respectful distance away, and circles his arms in front of him to bow deep and politely. He has not met the young master before, but that means the young master has not met him either. This is his chance to make a good impression. Second Master Nia. The young Master Nia startles, as though he has not noticed Meng Yao approach at all. He jerks round, eyes wide, and nearly tips right over into the water. Meng Yao lunges forward, grabbing him by the shoulder before more than a sleeve touches the river, and hauls him a step backwards onto safer ground. "Forgive me, young master," he says, drawing back as if the contact has burned his hands. He bows again, quickly, and holds the pose. "That was improper of me." For someone like Meng Yao to lay hands on someone of higher rank, horribly improper. But Meng Yao thinks it would have been worse to allow him to fall. There was a risk the young master could have suffered injury or worse, which would horribly annoy sect leader Nia. But even if he had only suffered the indignity of being damp and uncomfortable, well, Meng Yao knows many masters who would punish him for simply witnessing such a humiliation, irrespective of his own fault or lack thereof in the matter. Better to appeal to gratitude for overstepping boundaries than to risk such a thing.
"Ah, senior, you startled me,"
the young master says. He does not sound angry or even particularly upset at having been startled. In fact, more than anything, he sounds relieved.
"Thank you for not allowing me to fall."
Meng Yao chances a glance at him from beneath lowered lashes. Maybe this will not end so badly after all. "Forgive me, I should have announced myself earlier."
"I should have been more observant," young Master Nia counters, sounding a little sheepish, as though he does know that being so surprised by another approaching him is bad form for a cultivator on a night hunt. It's an even better response than the dismissal Meng Yao had hoped for. The young master even smiles, touching gentle fingertips to the tops of his wrists and nudging his hands down from their circled position. A silent command to stop bowing, which Meng Yao follows gratefully, feeling the muscles in his shoulders ease from the strain of holding such a posture.
If you don't mention it, I won't,
Nia Huaisang offers, leaning forward just a touch. They're still an arm's length of distance apart, and yet it feels so much more intimate. He even looks around, as if to check that no one else has snuck up on them and is listening. Meng Yao ducks his head and smiles back.
Of course, young master Nia.
Nia Huaisang smiles with incredible relief, like Meng Yao has granted him a serious concession in not mentioning his moment of inattentiveness.
So, what brings you down here? You weren't looking for me.
No, young master, Meng Yao says, making a jerky hand gesture towards the canteens that need to be filled. I'm on water duty, that's all. He even manages to say it neutrally, without a hint of bitterness.
Let me help,
Nia Huaisang offers, taking half a step towards them as though he really means to.
Young master,
Meng Yao protests. He sweeps the canteens out of reach as far as he can, clutching them to himself like they're precious.
I can't allow you to do my tasks.
Nia Huaisang bites his lip. Brother gets less cross with me if I do some work when he drags me out on these night hunts, he confesses. His finger combs the loose lock of hair that artfully dangles from his temple and tugs on it thoughtfully. Fetching water is easy and not dangerous. It's perfect. Sec Leader Nia's fury at his brother is something that's part of Tinghua Nia legend. Meng Yao can't imagine ever joking about it if it had been directed towards him. And the words of the Nia sect cultivators echo in his ears.
To make a son of Tin Guangxun fetch water for us? How thrilling is that?
It's inappropriate, young master,
Meng Yao says, eyes dropping to the ground. How could such an elevated person possibly perform such menial tasks for such lowly cultivators? Nia Huaisang sighs, though his eyes dart thoughtfully across Meng Yao's face.
Ah, senior, I suppose I must concede to your will. Truly, I'm the most useless person to bring along on a night hunt.
He pulls a fan out of his dry sleeve and flicks it open with deft hands, as if to emphasize how out of place such a scholarly person is here and now. Meng Yao can't possibly agree with such a bald self-deprecation, even if he doesn't necessarily disagree either. I'm certain Sec Leader Nia has his reasons for insisting, he says diplomatically. Nia Huaisang laughs brightly.
Yes, to torment me,
he agrees. He settles himself down on the riverbank stones as Meng Yao crouches by the river to fill the empty canteens.
The river here is so beautiful, don't you agree?
He says. Meng Yao surveys it as he works. He supposed Nia Huaisang is not wrong, though the beauty of the location had not been high on his list of concerns. It is very representative of Tinghua landscapes. I wish I'd brought art supplies so that I could paint it, Nia Huaisang says, as if bringing paint on a night hunt isn't a totally ridiculous proposition. He flicks his fan closed and taps it against his chin, glancing sideways at Meng Yao and smiling in a way that seems to be conspiratorial. I suppose I'll just have to remember it and paint it when we return home. I'm sure young Master Nia will paint it beautifully despite the delay, Meng Yao says. He finishes filling the water canteens and pushes himself to his feet. His bow is polite but awkward due to his burdens. Please excuse my abruptness. I must return. Nia Huaisang scrambles after him, almost forgetting to collect his saber as he does so.
I'll come with you, shall I?
He gives a false laugh and an uneasy glance around the forest. I probably shouldn't stay out here alone. Who knows what might creep up on me next time? It's the first time he seems worried about danger, and Meng Yao will hardly be a suitable defense if something were to happen, but the young master shouldn't have been out here alone in the first place. Why were you down by the river? Meng Yao asks, striving to sound curious and not judgmental. He is in no position to disapprove of the sect leader's brother.
Were you with the other group of cultivators?
Niu Huaisheng gives an awkward laugh and flutters his fan across his face.
I was following the birds.
Meng Ya stays silent because he has no idea how to respond to that. It seems absurd.
It was a really lovely egret,
Niu Huaisheng hurries on, as if the specifics make it less confusing. A few teals and plover and even grebes. I actually wanted to see if I could see any blue-tailed bee-eaters. There's only a very small range of rivers that they migrate to. This doesn't seem like it's one of them, though.
How disappointing.
Niu Huaisheng sighs, heavy and dramatic.
Very disappointing, he laments.
Ah, but I'm sure I will see many lovely birds while we're here. There are so many more around than most people ever notice, you know?
People are blind and oblivious is certainly a truth he knows well, and yet young Master Niu has directed his own attention towards something so frivolous and pointless.
See, look, up there, Niu Huaisheng says, leaning in close so that they share the same eye line. He points up into the canopy with his closed fan. Meng Ya follows his insistent directions obligingly, but his closeness is distracting. There's something shockingly intimate about it, about just standing next to each other like this, face so close together that if...
I don't see anything,
he says, almost hurrying through the words apologetically. Niu Huaisheng steps away, puts an acceptable amount of distance between them again.
Well, another way to find them is to follow the singing, he says. Do you have an ear for music, senior?
A shift in conversation, but one Meng Yao is grateful for. His mother had made sure he was well educated, and doubly so on the polite conversation topics likely to abound in company with young masters like this. Indeed, though I have not found the pastime of much use in Tsinghua.
Niu Huaisheng nods.
Niu sect doesn't have much focus on the arts, he says, but there are a few tea houses in the city that have some lovely musicians. They exchange easy chatter about music and favourite songs and styles. Niu Huaisheng even offers to take him to the tea houses he mentioned, though it's said in such an offhand manner that Meng Yao isn't sure he's serious, or if he will even remember the offer. He still commits it to memory. There's much that can be gained from having connections with the young master, and Meng Yao can use even an offhand invitation to his own benefit. Even the fact that they're returning to the camp together will make a statement, and Meng Yao is almost looking forward to the looks on the rest of the cultivators' faces. Only, as they move into the cave where the camp is set, the sound of the cultivators talking echoes out to them.
Made his way to Lanling Tin. The way that Tin Wangshan carries on, there must be dozens of bastard sons. Who does he think he is? The sect leader Tin would recognize him.
Meng Yao stops as though his feet have been rooted to the ground. His good mood and hopes vanish in an instant, leaving him cold and empty. The tone, the laughter, the way they're taking so much joy in his pain. Niu Huaisheng's hands flutter like a bird's wing, tap-tap-tapping against his bicep, trying to get his attention. Meng Yao doesn't want to look at him. Niu Huaisheng is known to be a gossip. He's probably heard all this and worse before, and has likely participated in conversations just like this one before. But Niu Huaisheng doesn't look gleeful, gloating. His mouth is scrunched and tilted down, like he's just walked in on someone talking about him. He tilts his head back towards the entrance of the cave, away from the talking cultivators, and when Meng Yao doesn't move, actually pulls him towards it.
Let's just sit down out here, Niu Huaisheng whispers, with painful kindness.
There's no need to listen to people saying things like this. His eyes are warm. It only adds more humiliation to the whole ordeal.
There's no need, young master,
Meng Yao says, even as he allows Niu Huaisheng to steer them to a large boulder to sit down upon.
Ah, but if I'm the young master, then you have to listen to my whims, right?
Niu Huaisheng says. And I don't want to go back to camp just yet. He sits stiffly, though, and is fiddling with his fan. His saber leans lopsided against the rock next to him, looking on the verge of falling. Maybe he hadn't realized who he was talking to. Maybe he's disgusted. Why walk away, then? Why sit here, with Meng Yao? Why not join them, add whatever insignificant details that Meng Yao has betrayed in this conversation, talking about music like he's more than a lowly servant? Nia Huaisheng says. They talk about me like that too. He's still staring at his fan, turning it over and over in his hand. They say that I'm useless with the saber, that my cultivation level is poor, that my golden core must have been mauled by wild dogs at birth, that I'm unsuited to Ding Huan Nia, and that my mother was nothing more than Sekli Denier's concubine. He glances sideways, watching Meng Yao's reaction with eyes that are surprisingly sharp. Meng Yao stays frozen, unwilling to give one, unsure what type of reaction would allow him out of this conversation without insult or injury. Whatever he is, however true any of those things might be, he is still the second master, and Meng Yao is nothing. Nia Huaisheng has all the power here. If he wants to compare the two of them, Meng Yao can only swallow his own bitter objections. It isn't the same, Nia Huaisheng says, as if he can hear them anyway. Brother doesn't like it when they say those things. He forbids it, but even Sekli Denier can't stop men from talking where he can't hear them.
It isn't the same, Meng Yao agrees, rattled.
If it were the same, Meng Yao would be in Lan Liang Ting where he belongs. He'd be the second young master, behind Tin Zhu Xuan. He would have a role and status equal to his skills. He wouldn't squander it, like Nia Huaisheng is doing. And it isn't the same, because there is no one who will tell them to stop, however unsuccessfully. There is no one that will defend Meng Yao but himself. But clearly young Master Nia is projecting. That should be, is, something Meng Yao can use. He just has to get it together, to not be so affected. This is hardly the first time he's heard those things said. Surely they shouldn't still hurt so much. Nia Huaisheng is still watching him with those soft, kind eyes. Meng Yao thinks he might not be as foolish as everyone thinks. If you told brother about how they treat you, he would order them to stop, Nia Huaisheng says, shattering that impression. Meng Yao stiffens. As you said, even Sekli Denier cannot stop men talking when he is not around. I cannot ask the sect leader to fight my battles. Even if sect leader even cared to do so, it would only make things worse for Meng Yao if he did something as juvenile as tattling. Nia Huaisheng nods. Ah, you're right, you're right. That won't help anything at all, will it? He scoots sideways on the rock, closing the small space between them until they're pressed shoulder to shoulder. And no one will listen to me if I tell them to stop, but... He gives that conspiratorial smile again and raises his fan in front of their faces, as if to hide the conversation from anyone watching. I know there are many people who dislike the commander. Are there? Meng Yao asks, echoing that secret lean. The kind of man who would speak so boldly and without care of who would overhear him is the kind of man who would insult many and make many enemies, Nia Huaisheng goes on. He snaps the fan closed and taps the edge of it against his chin. And people like that would make for good allies, wouldn't they? Meng Yao stares at him. It doesn't sound false, and Nia Huaisheng has already established that he believes the commander has been gossiping about him. Allies for what?
Yes, Huaisheng, an older, deeper voice interrupts them. Allies for what?
Meng Yao cannot believe they missed the arrival of Sekli Denier and the second group of cultivators hanging back a respectable distance. He scrambles to his feet, aware of Nia Huaisheng doing the same beside him. Sekli Denier?
Allies for what?
Sekli Denier repeats. His face looks as though it were carved from granite, stern and imposing, without a hint of warmth. Meng Yao can feel himself buckling, even though it's hardly directed at him. Sekli Denier is focused on his brother. Meng Yao might as well not exist. Nia Huaisheng smiles, somewhat nervously, up at his elder brother. Bird-catching, he says, with only a tad too much haste. I saw a rose finch in the trees, brother. It was so beautiful I wanted to catch it immediately, but Senior Meng insisted that we wait for you to return from patrol first. Nia Ming Tui huffs.
If you put so much effort into catching enemies, he says.
He gestures to the cultivators with him, and they file past without so much as an extra glance. More interested in getting to camp than experiencing another episode of Sekli Denier scolding his brother for frivolity. Niu Huaisheng shifts his weight back and forth on his feet, almost shuffling in place.
"What would I do with an enemy if I caught one?" he demands. "No, no, no, I would be instantly overwhelmed. It's better if I stick to chasing birds."
He casts his gaze past his brother to the forest behind him.
"Is it safe out there now?"
"As safe as it can be," Niu Mingtui says. "But you would be safer still if you did more training."
Niu Huaisheng flicks that reprimand off with a level of sheer disrespect that would get anyone else killed.
"If you can't find anything else in the forest to fight, then it must be safe," he concludes. "So I can go?"
Sek Li Dinya breathes out heavily through his nose.
"At least pick up your saber," he orders.
He looks at Meng Yao for the first time in the whole conversation.
"Keep him out of trouble,"
he directs, before striding past them towards the camp. It's a weighty task, a serious order, and maybe beyond Meng Yao's skills. No, no, didn't he just say he wouldn't waste any opportunity he was given? If Meng Yao has to keep Niu Huaisheng safe, then that's what he'll do.
Niu Huaisheng beams and tucks his hand into the crook of Meng Yao's arm.
"Come," he urges, "I'll show you how to catch a rose finch." The end. Though he knows that sect leader Niu is set to meet up with them. Though he does know that sect leader Niu is set to meet up with them with another group of cultivators soon. He even looks around, as if to check that no one else has snuck up on... He even looks around, as if to check that no one else has snuck up on them and has snuck up on them. Snuck up on them. He even looks around, as if to check that no one else has snuck up on...
Snuck up on them? Why can't I say this?
He even looks around, as if to check that no one else has He even looks around, as if to check that no one else has snuck up on them.
And that's too slow.
He even looks around, as if to check that no one else has snuck up on them. He even looks around, as if to check that no one else has snuck up on them and is listening.